This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا
سبحان الله عما All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King, the Master, the Sustainer, the Creator of the seven heavens and the earth. And we send peace and blessings upon His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would like to thank the Sheikh and the school for allowing me to be here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I would like to thank the sisters that have come here and that have attended and those that have come from far distances. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses you all and your families. I must confess, I'm very nervous. I've never really spoken to girls, to women. So, I'm a bit shy. And I guess I'm a little bit worried and concerned because usually my approach is a bit direct. So I don't want to. But I'm hoping that you sisters will be kind enough and that if there's anything you hear that... Oh, this is sad. Sheikh Burhan, what did you do to you, man? Is this going to make the media or...?
No. Can't make the media.
Taib, no. I guess... My sisters, I guess one of the reasons why I personally, I mean, I choose not to speak to like a woman audience is because I feel like there's this stereotype that when you speak to women, everything's got to be rosy and everything's got to be pink and colourful and that everything has to be, you know, and for me personally, on a personal level, I can't do that, you know, I struggle. And I think sometimes I feel that even women get disappointed in that. I feel sometimes you guys want to hear it like it is too, you know. So I guess that's what I'm going to do my best today to do. And my sisters, look, let me not waste any more time. You will never understand and you will never fully appreciate and comprehend and be able to absorb how much you mean to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I swear by Allah that I'm not saying this because I want to win your hearts over or because I want to start the conversation by you feeling good about yourself. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, you have no idea how much each and every single one of you means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it enough for you to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that watches over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is with you every step you make and every thought you make and every action you take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there over you, watching you, with you, caring for you. Nobody will ever love you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. No one will ever care for you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for you. No one will ever be there for you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you. Trust me, no man in this world, I don't care who he is, I don't care what claims he makes, I don't care what song he sings it to you and how soft and sweet it sounds when he's singing it. No one will ever be there for you and care for you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. No one, period. And this is why, my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. Allah wants your full attention. Allah wants your heart, Allah wants your soul, Allah wants your fikr. And in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve all your problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you anything you need, anything you're searching for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. So my sister, you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala number one in your life. Allah comes first, before your dad, before your brother, before your father, before your husband, before your mom, before your best friend, before anyone on earth. You make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your number one goal. He is the reason of your existence. He is the one that is seeking your pleasure. He is the one that is, you please Him. You make Him happy. You make things right with Him. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Doesn't matter what any man thinks. Doesn't matter what any other woman or your friend does. It really doesn't matter. As long as he's happy, then you have won the world. If Allah is on your side, then who can take you on? Who can be against you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you? Who? Who can love you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? Who can harm you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side? Nobody. You see, my brothers and sisters, look, the truth is this. Every single human being, doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your race is, what your color is, what your nationality, what your religion, it doesn't matter. There is something that every single human being, we share as a human race. We have something that is common amongst us all, and it's that we all want to be successful. One way or another, every one of us wants to be successful. Nobody wants to be miserable. Nobody wants to be a nobody. I don't care how humble you are, and I don't care what you claim. Deep down in our hearts, we all want a good life. We all want to be important. We all want to be made to feel special. And we all want to be successful to some degree. Now yes, many of us will disagree, or many of us may have very different opinions as to what success is. And this is the sad thing, that you and I, my sisters, you and I, as Muslims, as people that believe in Allah, Allah has made things so easy for us. But we choose to make things difficult. Allah makes things easy, but we insist on making things hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani Allah, through His laws and through His sharia, and through Allah puts everything in front of you, yani especially for the woman. Especially for the woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things so easy for her, but unfortunately we make things hard. Then we turn around and we say, well, how come things are not working, and how come deen is not answering my problems? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things very easy for us. And Allah in the Quran, and the Shaykh even touched on some of these things when he was reciting. You know, you and I as Muslims, just like anyone else in the world that's seeking for success, we're looking for answers, we want to know the purpose of life. You know, what is true happiness? What is true success? Some people think happiness and success, and there's no right or wrong answer amongst us. Some people may think that, look, true success is when I'm happily married. Other people think, no, that success is when I have a good career. Some people think, no, success is when I have lots of money. Some people may argue and say, no, that look, success is when you're famous. Success is, you know, when I'm somebody unknown, you know, I'm very big on social media. This is what I think success is. And I'm sure if there's 100 of you there, I'm sure 50 of you will give me a very different opinion and your thoughts as to what you believe success is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it simple and makes it easy for the Muslim that, hey, don't be fooled with what people think success is and isn't. I'm the one that created success, and I'm the one that will tell you what success is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is true success. And Allah makes it very clear in the Quran that whoever saves themselves from hellfire and enters into paradise, Allah says, this is the greatest success. This, you want true success? That's it there. And just in the ayat that the Shaykh was reading, Allah says, are those that are in Jahannam, are they like the ones that are in Jannah? Can the two be equal? Can the two be compared? For verily, those that are in Jannah, this is the greatest success. My job and your job in this world, my sister, is to enter into paradise. That's true success. That's why I'm here. We're not here for anything else. Don't be fooled by this world. Don't be fooled by the luxuries of this world. Don't be fooled by what other people think and other, you know, and social expectations and what people. Habibi, this stuff it's useless, it's batil, it's deception, it's only leading you to your own destruction, and it has been for many years. Allah is the one that is telling me, what is true success? Allah is telling you, that true success, my sister, is when you enter into paradise. That is true success. That is when you can boast. That is when you can take your shoes off and kick back and really be proud of yourself and say, you know what? I made it. I made it. But up until you get there, and not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and what is the opposite of success? What is true failure? What is true failure? Because many of us now, unfortunately, we think, you know, I'm 25 years old, I'm 30 years old, and I'm still not married. And for a woman, I know how difficult this is. I don't care how humble you act, I know the pain that this causes. And I know, unfortunately, the stigma and the corruption in our societies when a woman is 30 years old and she's still not married. Or even worse, when a woman is 30 years old and she's divorced. The taboo that we have in our communities now. She's looked down upon like as if she's filth, trash, used up things. So now the sister starts feeling in her heart that, look, I failed. That I'm a failure. That I'm a single mom, I have one or two kids, or three kids, or whatever the case is. So you start feeling in your heart that I'm a failure. No. No. Because it's not social expectations that dictate to you and I what is failure and what is success. It is Allah that dictates to you and I what is failure and what is success. And Allah has told us that true success is Jannah, and true failure is the one that goes to Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says in Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Allah says, shall I tell you about the greatest losers? Those that worked so hard in this world, they put so much effort and so much of their time and concern and so much of their money and so much of... Allah is telling you about the greatest losers. Those that worked so hard, thinking that they were doing so good. Only when they died and they stood in front of Allah, it equal to a big fat zero. Imagine the failure on that day. So true happiness, my sister, wallahi, is not from dunya. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from materialistic things. It comes from Allah and only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is to please Allah and Him alone. And excuse my French, the hell with everyone else. That's the truth. Yes, I will do my best to make my friend happy. Yes, I will do my best to make my husband happy. Yes, I will do my absolute best to make the people around me, the people that... Yes, I will do my best to make them happy. But guess what? I'm not Wonder Woman. I cannot do miracles. I can only do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to do. And if that's not good enough for you, if that doesn't satisfy, you know, if that doesn't satisfy your needs, then excuse me again, the hell with it. Because even Allah testifies in the Quran, and Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah says, I will never ever burden a soul with anything more than what that person can carry. Many of us, we're suffering in our own lives. We're suffering with our own demons. We're suffering with depression and anxiety and this, that and the other, and trials and tribulation. And most of it comes from our own hands. We put ourselves in situations, we put ourselves in circles, we put ourselves in social groups that really, we don't even need to be there. Most of us live a life trying to please this person and the other. And you know what, my sister, let's be real. Wallahi, you can live not one lifetime, but a million lifetimes. You will never, ever, ever please a human being, ever. Because that's just the nature of man. But when you please Allah, then you're victorious. Whether people like you or they don't. When you please Allah, you're victorious. And unfortunately now, today, with the widespread of social media, wallahi, we bring depression upon ourselves. We bring harm into our own homes. You know, wallahi, I find it interesting, you know. When you look at Allah's system, and then the system of anyone else, ask yourself, is Allah making things hard for me, or is He making things easy for me? And let's be direct here. Let's speak in regards to the woman. Look at how easy Allah makes things for the woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the woman, You know, and people now speak about feminism. People speak about rights for women. I've never heard so much nonsense and trash in my life. Never. Because no deen and no system ever gave the freedom and the flexibility and the rights to women like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Not men. Muslim women. Muslim men don't give women anything. But Allah, the rights that Allah gave a woman is incredible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I want you just the way you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created you, I fashioned you, I myself, not someone else, Allah created you. You, with all of your shortcomings, with all of the defects that you think are defects, Allah created you. And Allah creates to perfection. So yes, and look, wallahi, this is what I find amazing. Allah makes things easy, we choose to make things hard. Allah created me with my nose, with those lips, with those eyebrows, with that face, with that chin, with that chest, with those breasts, with those legs. Allah created those. Not me. I didn't walk into a supermarket and choose. Allah created those. And I'm happy with what Allah gave me. And if there's anyone else around me that's not happy with what Allah gave me, then you stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment and you question Him as to why He made me look the way I look. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you the way you are, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you that look, your beauty belongs to me, I'm the one that wants to see your beauty, and the only people that you really should be concerned as to how you look towards, right, is only your husband, if you are married. Other than that, you should never be concerned, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the laws and in our sunan, don't do this, don't touch your eyebrows, don't play with your hair, don't do this. Why? Because Allah is telling you, I created you and I love the way you are. Why are you changing yourself? To please who? To please who? Allah is telling you, I created you. I made things easy for you. And to prove that Allah loves you the way you are, Allah is telling you that whenever you have to leave the street, then cover yourself completely. Why? Because the way you look is no one's business except Allah's. But now we insist on making things hard. So look how easy Allah makes it. Allah says that when you leave, cover yourself completely because it's no one's business but mine. I created you. You answer to me alone. No. Now my looks are dependent on what everyone else thinks. Look how easy Allah makes it. For the woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that look, don't burden yourself. Don't go out and run after this and run after that. Look, you can if you want to. If you want to spend your life chasing careers and chasing, go, wallahi, go. No one's going to stop you. No one is telling it's haram. No one is telling. But look at the tarteeb. Look, at the end of the day, which model do we follow? Our job is to follow Rasulullah and his wives. Yes or no? Yes. So my job is to look at Aisha and Sumayya and, you know, and Safiya and Maymuna. And my job is to look at these people. Allah is telling you, look at these people and make these people your role models. How was their life? Make your life like that. What was their dress code? Make your dress code like that. What was their eating habits? Make your eating habits like that. What was their worry and their concern? Make your worries and your concern like that. And if you do that for these trivial 50, 60 years, and you die on this, then guess what? For you is Jannat, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. For you is an everlasting paradise. Khalidina fiha abada. Look, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, that look, put up with this miserable world for 50, 60 years. Put up with it. But if you pass, then Allah is promising you, for you is an everlasting paradise in which you never, ever, ever grow old. In which you never, ever, ever have to worry about the thoughts of this person and that person. In which you don't have to please anyone. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says your beauty will be so much so that when you look in the mirror, you yourself, when you look in the mirror, there is absolutely nothing you would ever change about yourself. Such beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you. You don't have to sleep. You don't have to cry. You don't have to go to the toilet. No more monthly problems. No more bleeding issues. No more nothing. Allah has promised you purity and perfection for eternity. Allah has promised you purity and perfection for eternity. follow the laws and follow the commandments. Just stick with them. Just hang in there. For the woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, praying in your house, not in the house. The Prophet of Allah, he says that when a woman prays in her bedroom, her reward is equivalent to the man that wakes up in the morning, makes wudu, has to get into the car, drive all the way to the masjid, wait for the imam to come in, make the iqamah, make the prayer, give salam to 5 people that you've been trying to avoid for the last 3 months, then come back into your car. On the way you have to stop and grab bread and milk and whatever the case is. Allah says that the woman that wakes up and prays her prayers, not just in the house, no, in her bedroom, she will get the exact same reward as the imam that is leading the prayers in the masjid. Mm. I ask you, does Allah make things easy or difficult?
Easy.
No. But Allah's laws is not good enough for me, is it? Allah's laws is not good enough for me. You know, wallahi, my sister, so much that I can mention, you know. Ask yourself really, what am I doing with my life? And who am I pleasing? Because the human being will never be content. I mean, look, you guys know better than me. Just look at the fashion industry over the last 3 years. You can't keep up. Wallahi, you can't keep up. Today it's short, tomorrow it's long. Today it's black, tomorrow it's white. Today it's a split on the side, tomorrow it's a split on the front. Tomorrow, the day after that, it's a split in the back. Today the hair is up, tomorrow the hair is down. The day after that the hair is swung to the left and then it's swung to the right. Today it's red lipstick, tomorrow it's brown. Today, how do you keep up with this stuff? You can't. And wallahi, no matter what you do, guess what, you're never good enough. Your body figure is never good enough. Your height is never good enough. Your figure, your size, it's never good enough. And that's the system of man. That's the system of man. Wallahi, my sisters and my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made life so easy, but we make things difficult. We make things difficult. We spend and we invest so much of our time and so much of our effort looking at everybody else's life that we don't focus on our own. We're so caught up with this person and that person that in a million years, these people will never know of your existence. Don't you find that interesting? Don't you find that interesting that you're so caught up, you're so up to date with certain individuals in the world, you know every aspect of their life. Don't you find it interesting that if that person lived 3 lifetimes, they will never know of your existence? And yet we're so caught up with them and what they do and what they think and what they wear and what they... Look at the disgrace, look at the humiliation. And wallahi, this message is to the men and to the women. And I say this wherever I go. When Rasulullah and his wives are no longer your idols and your role models, when these two are no longer your idols and your role models, forgive me if this is harsh, I'm telling you, Allah himself will start to disgrace you. When you and I, my brothers and sisters, wallahi, please give me your hearts. Try to understand what I'm saying very, very deeply. When you and I become ashamed of the Quran, we become ashamed of the Sunnah, we become ashamed of the mothers of the believers, we become ashamed of our Prophet, we become ashamed of his lifestyle, we become ashamed of his clothes, ashamed of their ways, ashamed of their... If this has become shameful, then guess what? Allah himself will start to disgrace you. You want a real life example? I'll give you a real life example. You know, I'm not sure how things are here, but come to Sydney, yeah? You have to beg a sister. Never mind the niqab, just to put a hijab on. Just to put the hijab on, you have to beg. And then sisters start telling me, yeah, but tell me, hang on. And are you sure this is true? And are you sure this is sahih? And you know, I feel like that this is oppression towards women. And I feel like this, that and the other. Wow, Allahu Akbar. The sunnah of the mothers of the believers, now you and I, deep down in our hearts, we don't look at it like we don't idolize it. So guess what's become the alternative? Look at how Allah disgraces the people. Now, since Aisha and Khadija and Fatima, since these people, let's be honest, since Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab, since these people, they're no longer honored in our lives, and we all love them as if Baraka loved them. Oh, we love them so much. Habibi, when you love, you obey. When you love, you follow. When you love, you imitate. That's true love. When you truly love, you imitate. Ask yourself, do I imitate these people? So now look, because we've become ashamed of those people, what's become the alternative? Who knows? And forgive me, but look, I'm not here to throw rose petals at you and tell you that everything is nice and dandy. Let's be real. I didn't travel 24 hours, in so many countries away, so I can just come here and give you nice words and we can all feel better about ourselves. Let's be real. Maybe you guys don't have this, but you know this better than me, and you look at the societies that we live in. When we started looking down at these honorable people, whom did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace them with? You know who he replaced them with? Some woman, and I'm sure most of you know her name, who has absolutely no credentials, who has absolutely no haya, no knowledge, no alam, no intellect, no absolutely nothing to offer humanity, never mind Muslims, any human at large. She has absolutely nothing to offer. The only thing she ever did was she slept with her boyfriend, recorded it, put it out there on social media. She shared intimacy with her boyfriend, explicit sexual intimacy. She shared this out in public, and now this made her a star. This made her a star. Now everything she does has become gospel for the world. What she wears has become fashion for us. What she does has become honorable for us. The way she cuts her hair, now that becomes honorable for us. The way her body figure, Muslims now changing their body figures so that they can look like a piece of trash that's worth absolutely nothing, who is destined for Jahannam if she dies today the way she is. She's become our honor now. Now she's become our idol. Look at how Allah disgraces a human race. Look at how Allah disgraces a human race. Anyone sitting in this gathering is worth a million more times than this person is any day of the week. Any day of the week, wallahi, qasma, I swear by Allah, the shoe that you wear, my sister, is more honorable to me than never mind her, but a million people like her. And yet you're in awe of her. You follow this trash. Her handbag is the handbag I'm buying for Eid. And her clothes are the clothes I'm buying. What she does is now honorable for me. What, do you think it's not the same for the men? I don't want you in any way think I'm attacking the women, because by Allah I'm not. Look at the men. Look at the men. When we left Rasulullah and we left the companions, whom did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace us for us with? Trash, absolute trash, rubbish. Football stars, people that boast that they slept with over 500 women. Boasting that they slept with over 500 different women. He cuts his hair one day in a particular style. The very next day, the whole Muslim ummah has cut their hair like him.
Allah.
He buys a particular car, we run to buy the same car. He wears a particular shirt, now every young boy is running to buy that shirt. He puts a line through his eyebrows, I put three lines in my eyebrows. He puts an earring on his left, Habibi, I put it on my left and my right. Look at how Allah disgraces a human nation. Why? Because you left the idols, you left the examples that Allah gave us. For what? For what? Don't you find it interesting that any human being, no matter what her condition is, any woman on earth, no matter what, no matter where she lives, no matter how much money she has, or no matter what her financial situation is, every one of you can implement the sunnah of Aisha. But not all of us can implement the sunnah of these women that we look up to. Isn't that interesting? Wallahi, my sisters, ask yourself, what am I doing, man? What am I running after? What am I running after? Pleasing this person and that person. Look, in life we're not guaranteed anything but death. You know this. You're not guaranteed anything but death. So let's go back to basics, because much has been said. But let's go back to basics. My sister, the reality is this. You are not promised whether, you know, look, you and I'm not promised. Am I going to be rich or not? I don't know. Am I going to get married? I don't know. It's not a priority. But our society has become, khalas, if I didn't get married, I'm a failure. Who said this? Who said this? Now, I'm not saying we don't get married. I'm not saying we don't try to get married. But I don't live a life in... No, Habibi, no, my life is pleasing Allah. And along the way, yeah, of course, I would love to get married. And if Allah sends me the right man, then absolutely, I will marry him. But I'm not going to, you know, lower my standards. I'm not going to, wallah, just settle for anything, just wallah, because, you know, just so that I can fit in the crowd. No, no, no. I have honor. I have status. I have haya. I'm not going to marry just anyone. No, no, no. My job is to please Allah. So yes, I may get married. I may not get married. I may be rich. I may not be rich. I may have children. I may not have children. But Allah's not going to question me on any of these things. So what do you worry about it for? Why do we make things hard? Well, I don't understand. Allah makes things easy. Allah says, you know, that look, I want to make things easy. And you insist on making things hard. And then people told me, brother, deen is hard. No, it's not. You made things hard. The choices you made things hard. The people you decided to hang out with and call your friends, they made things hard. My job and your job is to please Allah. Nothing else. Allah. Allah only. And look at Allah. Allah is so merciful. Allah is so kind. Allah is so forgiving. Allah doesn't hold grudges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not remind you of the mistake you made 10 years ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the trash and the rubbish. No. Look how loving Allah is. And yet what? Allah's not good enough for me. But what, you know, and this is again, but what will people say? Who cares what people will say? Who cares? But how will people see me? What will people think? Sisters, people had bad things to say about the Prophet. They had bad things to say about the Prophet. So really, let's be honest. What chance do you and I have 1400 years later? Trying to please man. Trying to please someone who he himself is not happy. We're trying to please people who, when they look in the mirror, they see 5 defects of their own. You know, subhanAllah, I came across a quote the other day on social media. And the quote was speaking about social media, you know, that it said, we spend money that we haven't earned, buying things that we don't need, trying to please people that don't even care. Isn't that interesting? We spend money that we don't have, buying things that we don't need, trying to please people that don't even care, don't even know you, and don't even matter. And this is the life that... So my sister, wallahi, don't waste your life, don't waste your energy, don't exhaust yourself. Live a life that's pleasing to Allah and Allah only. Doesn't matter what people think. It only matters what Allah thinks. It matters what Allah thinks. And wallahi, my sisters, I take an oath by Allah. You know, a part of our deen, again, going back to basics, principles of our deen. You know, one of the pillars of Iman is to believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to believe in the qadr of Allah. You know what that is, my sisters? Do you know what the qadr of Allah is? A part of Iman. It's a pillar of Iman. You cannot believe. Your belief is insufficient. If you do not believe in the qadr, Again, going back to look how easy Allah makes things. To believe in the qadr of Allah, the decree, that look what hit you was never going to miss you. And what missed you was never going to hit you. And we worry and we stress. How many of us were facing depression? How many of us? A very common problem that's amongst us now. Depression and anxiety. Now I'm not saying all of depression is because of this one reason, no. But the vast majority of us, why? Because deep down, I'm not happy with Allah's decisions. Wallahi, my sister, you know, like I said last night to the brothers, you and I had no decision. No decision. You and I had no input, no opinion in the matter. We had absolutely no input in the decision making of when we were born, where we were born, what gender we are, to what family we will be, to what uncles and aunties we have, to what country and what land. We had no input in any of these things. So what are you stressing out about, man? Whatever situation you're in, Allah has placed you there. Good or bad. You know what the problem is? Is many of us, we fail to understand. Everything in your life is a test. Everything. But unfortunately, Muslims, we don't see things like that. We think only things are a test when things go bad. Yani if I have cancer, that Allah is testing me. No! No! When you're healthy, Allah's testing you! Don't you understand? When you're healthy, Allah is testing you. And when you're sick, Allah is testing you. It doesn't change. When you have money, that's a test. When you don't have money, that's a test. You're married, that's a test. You're not married, that's also a test. You have children, guess what? That's a test. And you don't have children, guess what? That's also a test. So what's the difference? What's the difference? You're happy. Guess what? That's a test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ Allah says, I've created you to test you. And Allah says, I will test you in good times, in bad times. I will test you with your life, with your health, with your wealth. I will test you with your children. I will test you with everything you have. Allah is telling you, I will test you. So what does it matter? What does it matter? I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm married, I'm not. It doesn't matter. It's all a test. Whatever hit you was never gonna miss you. And whatever missed you was never going to hit you. And the Prophet of Allah says, and if you die believing anything else, then let this person take his place in Jahannam. We are not in control. We are but mere slaves. Ya Allah, you're the king of my life. You dictate, Ya Allah. You're the one that directs me, Allah. And that's why we always pray and we always ask Allah and we always make dua. Ya Allah, you guide me towards good. And that's why the Sahaba used to always pray istikhara. Do you girls know what istikhara is? I'm sure you do, right? That's when you pray 2 rak'at and you make the dua and you ask Allah for guidance. The Sahaba used to make this dua all the time. And have you ever, like, you know, when you look at the words of the istikhara, it's amazing. Ya Allah, guide me onto that which is good. Ya Allah, you know the unseen. You know what I don't know. That's why we make istikhara, because Ya Allah, I don't know. Is this, like, getting married, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know, Ya Allah, is this person good for me or bad? Is this business transaction, is that good for me or bad? We don't know, but we're so arrogant. No. I know what's good for me. I know what to do. Habibi, how do you know? How can we be so arrogant? You know, just on a lighter note, my sheikh was telling me about this is many years ago. He said one of his friends, he fell in love with a girl. And he wanted to marry her. So he came to the sheikh, he said to him, look, you know, I'm in love with this girl. And so my sheikh, who was his friend, he had a bad feeling about the girl. But he didn't want to tell him directly and break his heart. So he said to the brother, he said to him, look, with anything in our deen, go pray two rak'at, make istikhara, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let Allah guide us to what's good and what's bad then. So the brother goes, he prays istikhara, and he came back, and sometime later he says to him, I married her, man. He says, oh, okay. He says, well, I prayed istikhara and things were good. So my sheikh goes to his friend, he says to him, sorry, but when you prayed istikhara, what did you ask Allah? He said, yeah, I made dua and I said, ya Allah, if this girl is good for me, then make it happen. And if this girl is bad, then make her good and make it happen. He said, bro, that's not istikhara. That's just straight out, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. Guess what? The marriage failed after, I think it was like a year or two, it failed. I don't know. I really don't know. And that's the life of a slave. We're always in dua, always in dhikr, always in prayer. Ya Allah, you guide me, Allah. When someone comes, and this is the problem that we have, you know? I mean, and I'm not sure what the culture is here, but you come home to Australia, and it's like our girls, from when they're born, they're programmed. Like, we have the saying in Arabic, Inshallah, yom farahtik. From when a girl is a baby, right? That Inshallah, yom farahtik. Which basically means, like, Inshallah, we're there on the day you get married. So if a young girl comes and gives you, like, so say you go visit a family and a young girl comes and gives you a drink. As a thank you, you say, Inshallah, the day you get married will be there, you know? So these poor girls, that's khalas, that's what they're programmed. I'm not saying marriage is a bad thing in any way, please don't misunderstand. But we do this culture, it's all about the day of the wedding. Thousands of dollars is spent on the wedding, and thousands of dollars on my dress, and everything has to be perfect, and everything is this, and it's like a woman, her whole life, her whole existence is all for that one day. Look how, wallah, I'm trying to keep this PG, you know. Look, wallah, like, look how pathetic that this is my whole life now. My very existence on earth is just for the wedding day. And that's why many of our girls back home, when they don't get married, some of them become suicidal. Allah. That maybe Allah doesn't love me, maybe there's something wrong with me, maybe. No! And then guess what? And then when they get married, because her whole life was the wedding day, the very next day after the wedding, it's like, okay, so what now? Because no one ever spoke to her about what happens after the wedding. Everything was just about the wedding. Now there's problems. Now there's fights. Now there's bickering. Now there's drama. Why? Habibi, because your life was about a wedding day. So, wallahi, my sisters, in short, I've spoken for far too long. We need to simplify our lives. Wallahi, simplify your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Allah says, whoever stays away from my deen, whoever stays away from my remembrance, Allah is telling you, my sister, not some sheikh, not some mullah, not some activist on social media, not some celebrity. Allah, your creator, is telling you that, look, whoever stays away from my deen, Allah promises for him is a miserable life. And forgive me, most of us were living miserable lives. Most of us are living miserable lives. But those few people who make Allah their purpose, who make deen their purpose, who do have some Quran, some salah, some dhikr in their life, some deen, some beautiful qualities, wallahi, for this person, Allah promises you a good life in this world and in the hereafter. So my sisters, in short, forgive me, you know, I've spoken much. We need to recalibrate our compass and ask ourselves, where am I going? What is my direction? What is my direction? Is my job to please my friends and my school and my mates and my family? Is this really why I'm here? Or is my job to please Allah? And you have no idea, my sisters, you have no idea how valuable you are to the fabric of society. You are the core of Islamic society. You are the fundamental. You know, and wallah, even in the English world, they have so many sayings. Give me a good woman and I'll give you a great nation. The core. If I didn't have the greatest woman in the world, do you think I can do what I do now? Wallahi, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, bro. My wife now, I swear by Allah, if you gave me a million celebrities with all their glamour and all their glitter, wallahi, her shoe is more valuable to me than this trash, man. Yeah, of course we have our ups and downs. And yeah, of course there's times I have my shaitan. And yes, look, let's not kid ourselves. And yes, sometimes my eyes wander. And yes, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. But this is the woman that bore my children. This is the woman that looks after my ard. This is the woman who, when I leave and I travel the world, she's protecting my home, she's protecting my honor, she's protecting my lineage. You put trash over these people. So wallahi, my sisters, you have no idea how important you are to society. You have no idea how valuable you are. How much, you know, look, ask yourself, your children, when they grow up, what are they going to look up to? You are their role model for the first 10 years. They're going to worship the floor that you walk on. Ask yourself, what sort of person am I, man? You know, actually, just before I came here, and I'll share this story with you guys. Please, I hope no one is recording. So if anyone is recording, please stop it. This is a personal
aside and
simply that there's no way on earth I'm going to let him look at mommy's face. We're happy to jump back in the car, park over there, and we will walk. Here I am like a coward, cowering in the house where I'm dealing with the situation. And the 9-year-old girl moved me aside and said, there's no way in the world I'm going to let him look at mommy's face. Wow. Now you may think this is because of my parenting, or why am I the worst parent on earth? But when I look at this, I think, yeah, this is an honorable woman for me. So, like my sister, you ask yourself, you know, what are you going to raise the kids to? What are you going to raise the kids to? Because the life is very easy for our boys to be heartbroken and be like everyone else. And that's easy. Everyone's doing it. But to hang on to the sunnah, to hang on to the. That's what makes us worship. Once again, to people of God, I have spoken to worship. I ask the Lord, Father, and Lord, and Lord, and bless you, Lord. I thank you for coming. I thank you for putting up with the spirit of the shopping. I ask the Lord to make this easy for you guys. Look, it's not easy. Being a woman is not an easy thing. There are challenges. But the Lord is system, the Lord is the Lord. And the Lord is on the side of you, you can unstoppable for us. So I ask the Lord to bless you all and make your life easy. And to make you like the brothers and the believers. Inshallah.
We'll be right back.